Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, January the 19th, 19th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the CEO at St. Joseph, Joe Mark. How you doing, bud?
Hey, good. Good afternoon.
Are you peaking? Are you ready for the weekend?
I am peaking. I'm psyched.
Yeah, that was a pregnant pause waiting for the sensors to take advantage of that and fill it in. This afternoon, we'll talk a bit about the tower as the open houses are, I guess you'd say houses.
Yes.
Because there's multiple events.
Several.
So houses will start tomorrow night, and we'll talk a little bit about what people can expect, what the process is, and where at least some of the bragging points are for the sisters. You're going to have sisters or sister there?
Plural.
Sisters, as well as the administrative staff. We'll talk about it when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Mark, but before we do, our quote is, I know why you wore a tie.
Oh, is that?
Because you knew I had to take your picture today for the website.
No, I didn't know that, but I've got one on anyway.
Yeah, now I just have to remember to go get the camera and take your picture, huh? Or we could go with the stick figure that we've got there now already for you.
That's fine.
Yeah, you think. It looks surprisingly similar to your head fundraiser for the tower.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. So we probably don't want to have that one there.
That's a little scary.
Yeah. Yeah, for a family, too. Our quote this afternoon comes from Jawaharlal Nehru, sometime between 1889 and 1964, said, quote, a leader or man of action in a crisis almost always acts subconsciously and then thinks of the reasons for his actions. I would like to put forth for your consideration, isn't that what Steiger always said? Right? Okay. That you probably had a couple of those kinds of situations during the construction of the tower where either time was crunch and you had to act really more intuitively
sure.
than thinking, or emotions got you. I saw a couple flares when you were talking about some of the folks that worked on the project but weren't there at the end of the project.
Yes.
And I could see, yeah, there might be some flaming arrows being shot from close distance as you were taking them out and replacing them with others. In hindsight, how much of the road was smooth and logical and everything fell into place, and how much was emotional? You did what? And having to deal almost in that kind of reaction mode.
Yeah, fair question. I would say 90% of it was very smooth. And the best part of that was the work of the subcontractors. And the 10% pain in the butt, frankly, was the original general contractor that was on the job. And there weren't good subcontractor relationships. There weren't good communications with our team, either here locally on the ground in Humboldt or in Orange. But once we went with Beacom, and Beacom picked up the general contractor ball and had those established relationships, particularly with our local subs here, everything hummed along. There weren't big surprises. The one untoward surprise that, you know, that we came out with publicly was the rush job on the first roof. The building that we'll be dedicating this weekend has a brand new roof. It has been replaced because the other one had some real leakage problems in it when they had to go back and do roof penetrations for plumbing and electrical and whatever. But short answer to your question, 90% smooth sailing. It was really good. It just took too long.
Now, you had an interesting phrase. You said the one public issue was.
As opposed to the private issues.
Which obviously opens the door.
That I won't go through.
You turkey. is the design in the frames on the wall the same design that you see today walking through, or were there some improvements that were made during the process?
Predominantly the same design. We made a fairly significant change order in the cath lab room that's going to be in there because we had to set up for a dual plane, and the original plans were for a single plane unit. And the King's English, it's basically a bigger piece of equipment that had to go in the room. So we had to move a wall 3 feet and then do some other adjustments up that hallway. So other than that and the replacement roof, the other change orders were relatively small.
As we see the structure today, is it what it's going to look like in a year? Or is there still a little bit of cleanup, a little bit of spruce up, a little foo-foo here and there?
There might be some fine-tune in terms of some of the grounds, but I think most of the landscaping is what it'll look like long-term. Yeah, we're very happy with it. The internal courtyard is really beautiful and has been done very well. We're anxious for the public to see it. I think it's something that everybody can feel very proud of.
So if you see it from the sky, it's a donut? Does it look straight down on it?
You know, I don't know. I haven't looked down.
You haven't taken a helicopter
haven't been
ride
up there to take
own,
a, take a peek?
No. Hmm. Why not?
I don't get in helicopters.
No, you don't like helicopters. Okay, fine.
No.
I love helicopters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the coolest way
airplanes
the coolest
and
way
jets
in the world.
Are a stretch for me, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have leg room issues. What's your...
Oh, no, it's not a size issue. It's a trust issue.
Oh, I see. You're not in
and
control.
A comfort
so you're
issue.
Not in control. Okay, I got
you. Yeah, well, I've given up control on the commercial airliners, and occasionally I'll go on a small private plane with somebody, but that's the extent of it. Yeah, no choppers.
No glory. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 421. We'll be back with more with Joe Mark.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 425. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Mark. Joe, what's going to be the biggest surprise for people going to the open house this weekend?
Biggest surprise. I think it's going to be the overall quality of what they experience when they walk in, particularly if they've been in the 50s building, like particularly our emergency department comparison is stark. I remember when our staff first went through there and they were planning some of the final setup, you know, types of things they'd have to do in there, and they were blown away. And they've been to other hospitals, you know, either for seminars or they've worked there before. And I just think it's such a stark contrast from what people have been accustomed to, particularly in our older buildings. And then just how well thought out the designs are. The finish work is fabulous. I mean, it's something that is every bit as nice as you'd see in a major metropolitan city.
I'm going to ask a question that's going to sound kind of bizarre. But, oh, well, okay. Another one of those questions.
I'm used to those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Does it still feel local?
Yes, it does. It's surprisingly warm in its feel. I was really concerned about institutional feel when we were in the early phases. The colors are soft. There's a lot of natural light. There's small touches that you'll see as you look up in the ceiling from somebody that's on a gurney's perspective. So there's like natural, beautiful, you know, kinds of settings up on the ceiling. It's got a nice...
Michelangelo?
Not quite that.
Okay,
extravagant.
But that concept.
No, this is better than Michelangelo. This is God's gift.
Oh, I see.
Natural scene. That's
okay.
Right. Throw down to the big mic. Yeah, but no, it's got a warm feel to it, and it's much more private. From the emergency department, private bays and the glass doors, to ICU, to the room sizes being so much larger. The public areas are nicer. There's a nice place that people can gather out in a interior courtyard with nice plants. It's a nice healing environment. I think people are going to feel really good about it.
Obviously, nobody wants to be the first one in.
Nobody does.
Yeah. Or experience it firsthand. How do you get the opportunity to measure patient feedback? I guess it would be feedback.
Yeah.
On the facilities, because... You know, I think most folks are going to be focusing on the care, the treatment, the doctors versus the medical folks rather than the facility. But I would think you would want to get that feedback at least for the first 6 months or a year or so that there's still an opportunity to do some of those changes.
Sure. No, that's a good point. Two ways, written survey type things, you know, after they're discharged for sure. And then real time. I go around weekly and I talk to patients myself.
Oh, that's right. You're the clown.
been called worse.
Yeah.
No, I like to get that, you know, kind of information. Not just how's your care, but, you know, was it a comfortable setting? You know, were you okay with your bed? You know, the kinds of stuff that the personal amenities are very important to people when they're really stressed and they're anxious, of course, you know, with their situation and getting taken care of.
I mean, the clown when you were in the Midwest and you were the clown.
Oh, when I did the clown?
The clown.
Oh, yes.
No, that wasn't a cheap shot. I mean,
yeah, no, that,
that
I haven't pulled
shot,
that but. Here. No, I did that in a Midwest hospital that was going through a lot of change and the place was up for sale and there was a lot of depression inside. So, yeah, I went down and garbed up in full clown gear one day and came in and just walked through the place for 2 hours with little gifts and cameras and... It had the desired effect.
So don't expect to see the clown this weekend?
Probably not.
Okay. Maybe just the nose?
Yeah. Well, maybe. Maybe the nose.
What is the goal of this weekend? Just to have folks come through and touch, feel, experience?
Yeah. Yeah. To come in and see things that you normally wouldn't see as a patient, to be able to go back into restricted areas like the operating rooms and sterile supply and get into the inner workings of the emergency department. It's just a rare opportunity. You don't get to do that often. Even those of us in the business don't get to do that often.
Now, when the Heart Institute was put into play, that was kind of the same general sense, but there weren't too many of the docs and the staff around. You know, it was see the building, touch the building, but there weren't interpreters, so to speak.
Yes.
There were tours, but not the individuals themselves. Is that going to be kind of the same thing to anticipate with
No,
this
I think
experience?
You're going to find more physicians here because, well, there's more variety of services for one. So, you know, some of our emergency physicians will be there in the ED. We'll have a number of surgeons up in the operating room. I know Dr. John Arianpour is planning on being up there and volunteering his time to point out, you know, how the operating rooms are set up and explain how everything's booming out of the ceiling so there's more room on the ground floor to get around the patients. And, yeah, I think you'll see quite a few more doctors at this than what you might have experienced in the past with the Heart Institute.
Still guided tours, groups going through rather than
– Yes.
You're not going to lose anybody.
No, it's pretty hard to get lost in there. We got real good signage and people looking with a heads up if anybody looks lost, so it won't be a problem. Yeah, you know, I think the other thing, you know, apart from people just being able to get in there and kind of mill around in areas that you wouldn't be able to mill around in is the community sense of pride that I think will come out of this. We're really hoping that we get thousands of people literally coming through the two community open houses on Saturday and Sunday so that they can come in and get a sense for just how nice this facility is, how efficiently it's been set up. I think people are going to be very pleasantly surprised.
KINS, News and Information Times, 431. We'll be back with more from Joe Mark.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Mark, CEO of St. Joe's. This weekend, you guys are having the open house, Joe. What involvement are the sisters going to have this weekend? I think a lot of folks, well, obviously, if you're not Catholic, you probably are, you may even be unfamiliar with what the sisters' mission is or what sisters do in the church.
Sure.
Let alone what the Sisters of Orange do, what they've assisted you guys in, some of the things that are going on. Is there going to be proper recognition of the sisters and what their function has been, not only for the project, but for the history of the hospital?
Oh, very much so. That history is so rich. This is the 100th year of the sisters being on the North Coast. I think the formal date, I think, is in June sometime, but it's a big centennial year. We didn't plan the hospital to be opening now. We'd hoped it was open this time last year, but it's kind of exciting to do that at their 100th celebration. And there will be sisters up here from Orange, as well as some of our local sisters here that work in our hospitals and other ministries here locally and the resource centers, et cetera. Yeah, I'll be talking about the heritage for sure and how they arrived here with literally 60 cents in their pocket. And a whole lot of faith, foresight, and flexibility. It's like we got the faith, we got the foresight, we know what to do, and man, we'll figure it out if plan A don't work. And, you know, we look at how far, you know, we've come in 100 years from starting out with an education ministry and then moving to be asked to start a hospital following the flu pandemic, buildings in the 50s and 70s and 90s, and now this 140 million plus facility that, you know, ought to be able to serve the community for the next 40 or 50 years. It's very exciting.
I would think it would be rewarding for the sisters, too.
Oh, it is. It is. There's been over 300 Sisters of St. Joseph serve in one ministry or another over the last 100 years. And we'll be putting that list into the new time capsule. It'll go under the ground and come out in 2062. I don't think I'll be around to be there to see that box come out.
2062, what is that? 50 years?
50 years from now, yeah. Yeah. I'll be setting some kind of record, I think,
yeah.
For old farts if I make it that
Yeah. The CEO that just wouldn't leave.
I wanted to have that box open and stuck around for it.
Is there documentation on the walls and the corridors and the waiting rooms? Is there more, I guess, more spirituality there?
Well, there'll be a heritage wall that's going to be developed between now and when we formally open in April. We'll have actual lace makers present. That's one of the original ministries in the 1600s in France. That the sisters brought women in off the streets to get them out of prostitution. They taught them lace making. And so we're going to have some lace makers.
Really?
Real lace deal? Makers, yeah. Oh, throwing cool. The bobbins around. It's very cool to see. I saw it in France when Peggy and I were there a few years ago. It's going to be fun to do that. We're working on a new heritage wall that tracks their heritage from 1650 to the present time and the various ministries they've been in. And then certainly the centennial celebration will have a whole list of recognitions and education through healthcare and other ministries.
Since General Hospital or the preceding of that through the various, incantations, is there any thought to a history of medicine in Humboldt County?
In terms of, what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, you know, certainly there was nice, healthy rivalry between St. Joe's and General for a long period of time, or the county hospital.
Yeah.
But just to have a place, and I would think it would be natural, you know, your house, to show that. To show, you know,
historical archive.
Ted Loring came to town and did all the various things that are significant milestones for medicine and medical care in Humboldt County.
I think that's a great idea. I've never heard anybody ask that question before, but I think that'd be really neat to put together. It's very rich, the history.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff.
Oh, there is.
Or at least connecting to some of the names that are in the community that people might have forgotten who they were.
I think that'd be great to do.
So you talk to a native, you get all kinds of weird stuff coming out.
We'll get you engaged in that. You can.
Oh, boy. Yeah, maybe Garrett can be in charge of that, too.
There you go. You're a co-chair.
Speaking of John, who did help out significantly in the fundraising, what special skills does it take to be able to fundraise for something like this? I mean, it's not the only time. There's been a couple of them. But I would think nobody in their right mind would say yes. Nobody in their right mind would ask somebody to say yes.
Yeah.
So somehow you two guys are linked in some kind of a intellectual weakness.
Yeah, to me it boils down to two words, Brian. The short answer is deep belief. I mean, having a real passion and knowing what that facility, that project, that capital campaign means for literally every one of us that live here on the North Coast in terms of quality of life, the quality of healthcare services, the value of the job base in terms of being an anchor for the community here. We take very seriously in knowing that we anchor healthcare in here for the long haul. We are anchoring a big piece of the economy so that we can have a stability here. And I think we need an economic stability here bad. We need to grow, but we certainly can't afford to lose jobs. So this was the easiest ask in my career, and I've done a lot of fundraising myself, and I know John has as well. And he was a great partner in this. My disadvantage was total newbie. I mean, you know, when I started this campaign 5 years ago, I'd been here a year. And I needed people to introduce me and say, this guy's got his head screwed on pretty tight. He's working with a good board. They got a good business plan. You need to listen to this. And what I found after about two or three different opportunities to sit down with particularly major donor prospects was the number one button we hit with this project was not maintaining specialty services. That was generally two or three. It was, I will help you now, particularly because we're starting this damn recession, and that job base is so critical. It was the job base, the job base, the job base. It probably carried three quarters of the gifts that came through.
Just flat out economics.
Flat out economics, yeah. And then not wanting to see helicopters and ground ambulances coming and going from the county all the time, maintaining as much of the specialty service platform for the long haul.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, we just had the update, 299 closed. You know, so if you were having to run to Reading.
Yeah.
Okay, well, just sit in the queuing line, you know, don't die on us.
Well,
wait.
Yeah, that's it. And I think this is, you know, I don't know all the history of Humboldt County, but, you know, I've studied some of it, and I can't think of three or four other major events that have this type of economic impact on a region. I mean, it's just huge.
Oh, Redwood Park 1 did. You're thinking positive, not negative.
Positive, yes. Okay. Positive influence.
Clarity, yeah, man,
yeah,
clarity.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be a retirement community, you want to know you got good heart, good cancer, good orthopedics. This new tower has been a huge magnet for us, drawing new doctors in here. We've had 30 new doctors join us in the last 2 years. We've got five more ready to sign. When they go through there, it knocks their eyes out, particularly the younger ones that are coming out of fellowship and residency programs and going, wow, you know, I'm at an academic medical center that doesn't have some of the stuff that you guys have in this facility. And it's the icing on a cake. They're generally here to buy the cake, but man, when they see that new tower, they're in.
Does the community support, just that there is, not that it translates into anything, mm-hmm. but just that there is community support, does that score points with these kids as they're coming in, or does it matter?
Oh, you know, one of the first questions they ask, yeah, is what kind of community support have you gotten for this initiative? We know it's running you mega millions. How's the community stepped up? And they'd be able to say that, you know, we've gone for $12.5 million worth of local funds matched by the health system blows their minds. I mean, they know the socioeconomics of it. They've done their homework before they come in. And they said, well, what was the biggest campaign in Humboldt before that? And we said $4.5 million. So what did people say when you told them it was going to be 12 and a half? I said, well, they looked at me like I had three heads and a tail. But this is the most generous community, Brian, I've ever lived in. I mean, people get it. It's one thing to get the business argument. And, yeah, we want to maintain specialty services. Geez, you know, we raised 80-plus percent of this from the start of the recession forward. I mean, people really dug into their portfolios. The foundations dug deep into their corpuses. Individuals said, I'm going to give you more in the future. This is what I can afford to give you now until I get a bounce back in my business. I've never seen a community response like this.
And what was 4.5? Was that for the cardiac or was that the library?
Alzheimer's Center.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very successful. They did a $4.5 million campaign.
KINS, News and Information Times, 444. We'll be back with more from Joe Mark.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 448. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Joe Mark. Joe, so what's next? I know it's probably tough to look ahead at the next one as you haven't quite crossed the finish line on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, as they say, if you're not moving ahead, you're slipping behind.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you're not doing something, you're dying. So I would think that there's some critical mass. I would also probably be close to the truth thinking that you got a lot of people suggesting what the next thing could be.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So has there been a determination yet what the next thing will be?
There has, and then comes the question of how are you going to finance it so you don't take on
Well, let's forget about the money part. Let's just
so
kind
yes,
of ask
the short,
the
short answer glow. Is yes. Ultimately, more down on the tower so that we get it down to a much more manageable mortgage. And the reason for that being cuts in federal payments for Medicare and Medi-Cal. The next big project that we've got, well, two of them actually, on the back burner will be a replacement home for our inpatient rehab unit. We believe, although we haven't gotten finally in writing from the state, that we're going to get an extension to either 2015 or 2017 on the General Hospital building. That will buy us some time to fundraise and build a replacement facility. We've got a footprint on the current St. Joe's campus where we can construct somewhere between a 10 and 14 bed facility. There are probably 14 beds. That carries a current price tag, though, of about $21 million bucks. So the challenge is, you know, right there for the capitalization of it. And then we own a piece of property behind the old Safeway where Planned Parenthood is back there. I forget what that Timber what Falls, I think, is the name of the little development back there. We purchased 3 acres back there a little over a year ago, and ultimately we'd like to have two facilities back there, a regional cancer center of excellence that'll house medical oncology and have all of our radiation therapy, and a wellness center.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
See you this weekend.
Pleasure.
Be popular.
You come by.
Okay. We've been Talking Shop with Joe Mark. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.